My guests this morning are from the Utah Foundation, President Peter Reichard and Communications Director Dan Bomas. Welcome to the Wasatch Gazette.
Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Mike. It's interesting to have you here, Dan, because we were just talking before we went on the air that you actually named this show the Wasatch Gazette when you worked here at these radio stations many years ago.
In 1989, yeah. We were interested in having a public affairs program, and it just struck me as the name that you'd give a small-town newspaper.
Right.
So. That's how it became the Wasatch Gazette.
All these years later, you're back on your namesake, or the show that you named.
Yeah, happy to be here.
All right. Well, I'm going to start with the question. When I was talking to Dan about coming on the show, Peter, I asked him, you know, what do people ask you? And he said, by far the question I get first is, what is the Utah Foundation? And there's a lot of nonprofits and charities where you can kind of tell what they do by their name. But Utah Foundation is... it doesn't really tell you exactly what it is. So let's start there.
Right. Well, we're an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit research group. Our mission is to promote a thriving economy, a well-prepared workforce, a high quality of life for all Utahns. And we believe that every serious civic community needs an organization like this, an honest broker, who can help government find solutions without any kind of tinge of partisanship or agenda. We date back to 1945, and since then, our organization has worked to serve all Utahns, and we report to the citizens. So,
1945, how did the Utah Foundation get its start?
It was formed by a group of leading business and civic citizens in Utah.
So it kind of sounds like your mission is accurate information. Is that
it's accurate information and also to help government find solutions to the problems. We really like to focus on what are the big issues facing the state and work to uncover solutions. We may do best practice research. We may just focus on the issue here within the state, and or maybe we do comparisons among different communities if we're focusing more at a local level. And we let the analysis do the talking.
And Dan, how do you decide what you're going to study? Who tells you, here's what we want you to look at next?
Well, we have a fairly large board of trustees, about 60 people. And they meet regularly, and we present to them ideas for research projects. There are some things that we do regularly. For example, during years when there's an election for governor, we do something called the Utah Priorities Project, where we survey voters and find out what's really important to them and do reports on those. But it's this board that tells us what to study. We're proposing projects to them all the time. Some of the projects we've done recently include trying to match up the needs of Utah business with the skills that Utah students are learning in schools and universities. You know, are they being trained to do the work that's available in Utah? And that's changing as the technology economy grows. And those are the kinds of things that we study. In the Utah Priorities Project, we identified healthcare as the number one concern of Utah voters. And that will help to guide our research. Air quality was the number two issue. Mm. And on down the list, people are concerned about homelessness. They're concerned about, of course, education, Utah's public schools. And we've done a lot of work in that area. So that's who tells us what to study is this Board of Trustees.
And Peter, you say it's a non-political, non-partisan foundation. Surely, though, when you have the results and you present those to politicians, they then take them and politicize them. How do you keep the information pure and not have somebody take that and then twist it for their own political purposes?
Well, we put the information out. We can't really control too much what happens after that. But one of the things that we're trying to put more emphasis on is communications. And, of course, it's great to have Dan here, a veteran of the communications industry here, working with us on that. The hope is always that by providing that information to the citizens and the policymakers and the press, that it all kind of balances out in the end and you're able to get the right information out there and guide policymakers to the right solutions. And a lot of times that guidance will come from the citizens themselves who say,
okay,
hey, why don't we do it this way? Here's an analysis that clearly makes sense. And so the pressure might come directly from the citizens.
Okay. The biggest question, of course, for any nonprofit is how are you funded? Where does your money come from? You've been around since 1945, so mm-hmm. It sounds like you've got some solid committed backers.
Right. Well, obviously, like most nonprofits, we get solid foundation support. We're supported by businesses. Our board of directors, as Dan was mentioning, is a large board that as large geographic reach from across the state, and on our board we have supporters from the academic community, from the business community, civic leaders, and actually a few government entities too. So it's a broad base of support, and that helps to keep both geographically and in terms of interests, and that helps to preserve the independence.
And then you also have members beyond that board, correct?
Anybody can become a member.
Okay.
When we started in 1945, you could become a member for a dollar.
Oh, okay. I would guess that's gone up a little bit since then.
These days, we suggest 140, but if you'd like to be on our mailing list and get our research reports and things like that, we'd just love to hear from you. It's utahfoundation.org. You can go to our website.
utahfoundation.org. What sort of things do you have coming up that you're excited about, different things that you're going to be looking at?
Well, Dan talked about how our priorities project from last year gave us some results from the public. Hey, here are the things that we care about. And of course, the top thing was healthcare. And by that, mainly the citizens meant healthcare costs.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the projects we have in the pipeline right now is looking at healthcare costs. It will be a series of reports looking at the cost to average citizens, businesses, government, et cetera. So we'll be able to give the whole landscape of healthcare costs, and we hope really make sure that there's intelligent discussion around that issue. Another important issue coming up, one of the things I loved is to see that a top priority of the citizens we found was just bread and butter government taxes and spending. And so we have a report looking at the tax structure of the state, which should be quite interesting. We've got ongoing work. We've done work in the past on water funding and conservation, and we're doing some more work coming up on the funding side of it to look at the how you fund water system, whether through taxes or through fees.
So that's looking forward, Dan. Looking back, what studies has the Utah Foundation done in the last few years that have really shaped things and changed the direction in the state?
There's one we did right at the beginning of 2015 that I think got an awful lot of discussion in the legislature and other places, that showed that Utah's tax burden, what we pay in state taxes, and by that we mean our state income taxes, property taxes, everything that's local, is the lowest in 20 years. So it's not correct to say that taxes in Utah have been rising for the average individual. In fact, because of some significant tax cuts when John Huntsman was governor, moving to a flat income tax and some other things, they're actually lower. Governor Herbert likes to cite that study.
Oh, sure.
That got an awful lot of news coverage as well. We also came out with a study in November that shows that were it not for some of those reductions in taxes, Utah's public schools would have about $1 billion a year more to work with than they do now.
So trade-offs.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, they say that, perception is reality, and I'm sure that's something that you guys take on because the perception is, oh, our taxes must be higher than anywhere else, and then we find out the reality is that they're not. How do you take that information and then get it out to the public and let them know, hey, what you're perceiving is not necessarily true? How do you battle the perception versus reality?
Yeah, that's what we love to do. Above all, we love to set the record straight,
mm-hmm.
and that's a niche we like to fill. And of course, our communications efforts come in many forms, whether it's just putting out a report, putting out a summary of a report. We do podcasts, and we've got Dan to help out on that. We have events, whether it's forums or, the large or small. And so I guess we try to cover the whole waterfront in terms
right.
of communications. And we're continuing to look to evolve because the way people receive information, they seem to have less and less time. And so whereas 30 years ago, Utah Foundation might have been putting out 200-page reports,
mm-hmm.
that's
nobody's going to read that in 2017.
Right. So we spent a lot of time actually boiling things down. Let's keep the research as intense as ever, but let's boil down things so that the person who has only 5 minutes can know what's going on, and the policymaker needs a deeper dive also has that resource. So.
Our guests are Peter Reichardt, who is president of the Utah Foundation, and Dan Baumas, communications director for the Utah Foundation, and it's utahfoundation.org. So you've mentioned kind of how you've changed how you present your research. What else has changed about the Utah Foundation over the years since you've been at it for so long?
I've been in the news business in Salt Lake for a long time and always received Utah Foundation reports in the mail and followed that, occasionally interviewed their principals. we get into the news perhaps a lot more than you might think. If you look at sometimes newspaper articles that say, according to a report from the nonprofit Utah Foundation, blah, right. blah, blah. And that actually happened more than 200 times in 2015. Okay, so our work gets cited a lot. And it forms kind of like the foundation for public discussion. I like to think that if Utah Foundation says so, it must be true. Uh-huh. You can argue with me on that, too, but we're prepared to argue back.
So, Peter, as the new president of the Utah Foundation, what's the future? Where do you see the Utah Foundation going? What's going to change? What's going to stay the same?
Some things will certainly stay the same. We will always be unbiased. We'll always be nonpartisan. We'll always strive for excellence and to provide the gold standard in research, work that everybody can rely on and not feel that it's just looking out for a special interest mm-hmm. or a particular group. But I think one way that we will change is by really focusing on solutions. And again, I think this has something to do with that time element. It doesn't do to just sort of put out a report that can go on the shelf and maybe some policymaker will pull it off someday. We really got to make sure that we're being as constructive as we possibly can and focusing on the problems of the state, but also guiding policymakers to here are some possible solutions, here are some ways that we can solve these things. And I think also we would like to focus more on engaging the citizens mm-hmm. more and more directly. You know, in the past, organizations like ours, I think, were content to work somewhat behind the scenes. And it's really critical to us that the citizens have good information. And a lot of that we depend on the media to make that happen.
Right.
The media is our megaphone in a lot of ways. But it is also on us to make sure that we're presenting the information and getting to the issues that the citizens care about so they can engage.
And there's so much more information available to us now. I mean, it's information overload, where back in the 1940s and 50s, the Utah Foundation would probably put out a report and people would sit down and read it, 200 pages like you mentioned earlier. Now there's so much information bombarding us, you're competing with all of that information.
We have a pretty good website, too, and you can search it. There are reports on a whole range of topics. All of our reports from 1999 on are available online, and you can search those, go through, find what you're particularly interested in. Of course, we have blog posts. We have, as Peter mentioned, a podcast. There's a lot there to work with, and of course, people are used to working with websites now when
right.
they're looking up a specific topic. And if it has anything to do with public policy in Utah, we've probably written something about it.
And it's searchable.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. There's so much information, but so much of it is hard to decipher and hard to find. And it sounds like this would be a great place to go for that. It sounds a little bit like your organization is a think tank, but probably not in the sense that we think of a think tank. How are you similar to other think tanks? Because I know there are think tanks that are very partisan.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it is popular to start a partisan think tank, because your supporters know exactly what result they're going to get at the end.
Go find out that what I believe is true.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And so we're a little bit tougher sell, but we think we are a more credible source of information. But that's not to say that some of those partisan think tanks don't occasionally put out interesting information that we might draw from if it's objective.
When I would think at the Utah Foundation, you might take something like that and say, let's go find out if this is really true.
That's true.
And their report will be in the footnotes somewhere.
Right, yeah. And yeah. So we don't take anybody's word for it. We don't take an ideological viewpoint. We just want to find out the facts of the matter, do an analysis, and let that analysis speak through to some potential solutions.
Dan, other than what we've talked about so far, what about the Utah Foundation do you wish people in Utah knew more about?
That it exists.
Okay, to start with, you're there.
Yeah, I mean, the Utah Foundation was started by business people who wondered what was going to happen to the state after the end of World War II. Okay, they didn't know what kind of economy was going to develop. Utah's economy had exploded during the war years, and the state was collecting huge amounts of tax money. They figured that once the war was over, the economy would scale back, and they wanted to find out just what to expect. That was the genesis of the Utah Foundation. Since then, there have been all kinds of questions to be asked. In 1949, we did a report on how Governor Jay Bracken Lee fired all 70 of the state liquor enforcers. It used to be that enforcing drunk driving was not the job of local police. It was the job of inspectors hired by the Utah Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control. Governor Lee changed that, you know, and those are the kinds of things that we've reported on. We reported on driver safety on several occasions. We like to joke once every 30 years. teacher retention, we reported on what's going on in Colorado, which is demographically similar to Utah, in their public schools, and that comparison, they spend more in their public schools. Are their results significantly better than what Utah is getting out of our public schools?
And Dan mentioned 1945 and what the situation was then in terms of growth, and we're in a similar moment right now. I mean, many parts of the state are rapidly growing, and we feel like we need to gear up and make sure that we are, as an organization, meeting the challenges that brings to the state. Because what's going on in the state right now is really going to set the pattern for the future. This is an important moment that we're all living in here in Utah.
UtahFoundation.org is the website. Our guests have been the president of the Utah Foundation, Peter Reichardt, and communications director, Dan Bomas. Gentlemen, thank you for being here this morning.
My pleasure.
You.